Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you this morning, and let's ask the Lord to help us as we spend a few moments together. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this day. We're thankful, Lord, for the many blessings, Lord, that you've given to us. So many, Lord, we can't even count them. We sang the song, Lord, count your blessings, name them one by one. And that's a good thing to do, but Lord, we know and we understand that we cannot comprehend all that you have done and are doing for us. But we can stop and pause and say thank you and acknowledge you and acknowledge your presence and acknowledge your goodness. And so this morning, Lord, we do just that. We thank you, we praise you, we worship you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. Thank you, Lord, for being our friend. Thank you, Lord, for being our Savior. Help us, Lord, today. Would you speak to our hearts? Would you help us, Lord, to be in that process, Lord, of becoming what it is you want us to be. Help us to hear and to listen. Take heed. And we'll give you the thanks for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd like to take just a moment before I get started this morning and just say a thank you to those throughout the community that have supported WOTC for many years. You've supported it with your finances. You've supported it with your prayers. And I, for one, just want to say thank you for that. And I know that there are many people throughout the valley that would echo that this morning. And just a good hearty thank you for your willingness to be a part of this ministry. Thanks to Pastor Bailey and the good folks at Valley Baptist Church that have made this possible. So many of the other churches who have supported, so many individuals. I just want to say thank you. I know it's not the share-a-thon, but it's a time to just acknowledge what you've done for this community, and I, for one, and I'm sure there are others, that just want to say thank you this morning. So thank you. I'd like to draw our attention. I have been in a series and in the book of Proverbs looking for biblical principles for practical living. I went through this with our church for, probably a good long while, to be honest with you. We went through the entire book of Proverbs, verse by verse, looking for and identifying biblical principles for practical living. And my thought to our church was simply this, that we as a people, as a believers in Jesus Christ and followers of God's Word, we need to make sure that we are people of principle and not just people who respond to things or react to things based upon the heat of the moment, our emotions, or our feelings. Far too many people do that, and be honest, far too many times we do that ourselves. But if we will endeavor, if we will make it a planned principle, a purposed planned principle to live like God wants us to live, I believe we will be more successful. The old phrase, aim at nothing, hit it every time, is so true. So if we don't try anything, well, we can be pretty successful at nothing then. But if we try something that takes us out of our scope of comfort, it takes us out of our normal everyday living, you know, we can able perhaps to be reaching things or levels that we've not attained to if we'll try. And so that was my purpose at our church. That's my purpose of doing this with the broadcast. I'm in Proverbs 22 this morning in verse number 3. And the Bible says, a prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. It's an interesting verse here, if you think about it. As a matter of fact, that exact same verbiage is repeated in Proverbs 27:12. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. You know, every Christian should get in the habit of asking either himself or herself, what potential effects or consequences do the decisions that I make today hold for me and my tomorrows? You know, so often we get so short-sighted. It's the here, the now, the heat of the moment. But the Bible says a prudent man foreseeth evil. He's looking into the future. He's asking himself or herself, what consequences will this decision bring to my life today, tomorrow, next month, next year, 10 years from now? What will this decision do in my life? You know, as we as Christians, we need to be very careful, to be prudent, to be wise, to be using our minds, using our hearts, using God's Word to look into our futures through biblical principles and truths, and determine to make a decision about the course of action that we live on a daily basis. Matthew Henry says this: the benefit of wisdom and consideration is this, a prudent man, by the help of his prudence, will foresee an evil before it comes, and he hides himself. He will be aware when he's entering into a temptation and will put on his armor and stand on his guard. You know, when the clouds are gathering for a storm, he takes warning and he flies into the name of the Lord for his strong tower. He says this, that Noah foresaw the deluge, Joseph foresaw the years of famine, and both of those provided accordingly. They looked in the future based upon what God had told them. They took heed to that, and and because of that, they made some decisions that protected themselves in the days ahead. And that's what God wants us to do. In our Bibles, in the book of Proverbs 14, verse 16, the Bible says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. A wise man fears and he departs from evil, but the foolish man, he doesn't fear anything. He's the kind of guy that puts on the back of his pickup truck, no fear. You know, that's a foolish man talking. That's a foolish person that goes through life, says, I don't fear anything. Number one, they're lying, and they're lying to themselves. But number two, it's just a foolish way to live. We ought to fear something. The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. We ought to fear God. In our Bibles, in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 through 6, the Bible says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. God expects us to be diligent. He expects us to have wisdom and use it, and to have prudence. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse number 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. What did Noah do? He heard the message that God had preached, and he believed it. If you would, Noah was exercising wisdom. He was exercising prudence. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. He takes protection. He takes necessary means to provide that which is needed for the oncoming troubles that lie ahead. But the Bible says the simple pass on. They don't pay attention to it. They ignore it. They have that, well, not me syndrome. I'm above that. I'm better than that. That doesn't happen to me. I don't believe that stuff. Well, they end up causing themselves a lot of harm. You know, perhaps this morning you're listening, and most of us could relate some type of event in our life where we did exactly just what this verse said. We had the opportunity to listen to some instructions. We had more than ample opportunity to learn, and we didn't. We thought we were beyond that. We thought we were bigger than that. We thought we were better than that. And many of us could say, you know what, I learned my lesson, but I wish I had learned it a lot sooner. And I would have had I paid attention to what was told me and the instruction I had received. A prudent man foresees evil and he hides himself, but foolish man, he passes on and he's punished. Let's go down to verse number 5. And it sort of fits in this a little bit. The Bible says, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul to guard it, that is, shall be far from them. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Far from what? Far from these snares. Far from these thorns. That word froward there means simply it's distorted, hence the idea of being crooked or perverse. Thorns and snares are in the way of the crooked. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 13:15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. You know, that's a lesson that is, well, it's been learned for years. At least it has given opportunity to learn it for years. And yet so many people come along and repeat the same old thing and end up having the same old difficulties. They're not like the prudent man who foresaw the evil and hid himself. You know, God's given us ample opportunities to learn from our own mistakes, and then he gives us opportunities to learn from somebody else's mistake. And it's pretty bad of us when we don't take time to learn from either one, but especially when that mistake has been repeated over and over and over throughout history, and we've been taught it, we've been instructed on it, then we turn around and do the same thing. Someone said this, that history repeats itself so often because nobody's listening. And how true that is. In our Bibles, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 48, and verse 22, the Bible says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. And God repeats those exact words again in Isaiah 57:21, where he says again, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. You know, God's given ample warning to the lifestyle of perverseness, of crookedness. He's warned us that it's a way that brings difficulties. It's a way of hardness. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward, or the way of the crooked, the way of the perverse. Someone said this, he that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. In other words, the person that takes heed to himself and to his actions, to the saving of his soul and his life, will avoid the society of such froward persons, and also shall be that circumspection, or shall by that circumspection preserve himself from those thorns. You know, God's given us the sense to learn some things. And here's a very simple bit of advice. Learn and understand that the way of a transgressor is hard. There's ample evidence that this is true. There's ample evidence that the life of drugs is a life that leads to destruction. There is ample evidence that the life of alcohol use, and which leads to alcohol abuse, is a life that just ruins people's lives, ruins families and marriages. There is ample evidence in society that a life of promiscuity leads to a life of disarray, unwanted births of children, wrecked homes. There is ample evidence that the life of perversion is a life that leaves people empty and often with diseases that rack their bodies and cost them tens of thousands of dollars in medical bills. There is just ample evidence all over of all these type of lifestyles. They're hard, they're difficult, they bring disarray and dysfunction, and yet people repeat it over and over and over and over again. Someone would say, when will we ever learn? It seems like some people just don't want to learn. And yet God's telling us here, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward, of the crooked, of the perverse. But he that doth keep his soul, he that guards his soul, shall be far from those thorns, far from those snares. You'll be glad you did, or you'll wish you hadn't, what God's saying. And then one other verse, real quickly, just a couple moments. We drop down to verse 6, and the Bible says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I'd like to take just a moment here, and I want to be real careful what I say here and how I say it. You know, God is teaching us here, if we train up a child in the way he should go when he's old, he will not depart from it. And that's pretty explicit. He will not depart from it. I've heard, I suppose you've heard, people say, well, you know, I know the Bible says that, but, you know, I did train up my child, or I so-and-so train up, but it didn't work. You know, that leaves a person sort of in a conundrum. You know, it's, wait a minute, well, do I believe you or do I believe God? And I know it's difficult here, and I want to be careful, but, you know, when God says train up a child the way he should go, when he's old he will not depart, that's pretty explicit. Not a lot of wiggle room there. As a matter of fact, there's no wiggle room. And someone comes along and says, well, you know, but yeah, I don't know if that's always true. You know, there's exceptions to that. Well, that's not what the Bible says. We see this and we think, boy, you know, well, who has done a perfect job? Well, I know there's at least one person who hasn't, and that's me. I suppose there's a lot of us that would admit that to ourselves and to our children. But, you know, not to cast judgment on anybody, their success or lack thereof or whatever, that's not the purpose of what I'm saying here. But it causes me to shudder, causes me great concern that I have a responsibility to train up my children. And if I do it the way I'm supposed to, God said they'll not depart. If my children depart, it is not because God's word has failed. It's because I have failed at training up my child the way I should. The failure lies with me, not with society. The failure lies with me, not God's word. If this doesn't work out, it's not God's word. God's not lying to us. It means I have failed. So if I have the potential to fail, and I certainly do, and I see the consequences here, how much more is it incumbent upon us to take the job of rearing our children seriously? We get one shot at it, one shot. If we mess that shot up, we're done. They've grown up. That doesn't mean you get, you know, one shot just, you know, one day, one week, one month, one year. But you basically, each child has that adolescence, that age. You get one shot at them. You can't go wait and hit when they get 25 and say, you know, I'm going to hit the reset button and go back to year 7 and start over again. You can't do that. You get one shot at it. And the point here this morning is not to cast judgment, because I'm not in place to do that. But I do know this: God's word's true, and what an awesome responsibility we have. It ought to cause us just to shudder and shake in our boots, if you would, to think about the awesome responsibility that we have as parents to train up our children. Are we doing the job that God is requiring us to do with our children? Dear person listening, dear dad, dear mom, are you doing the job that God has given you? Not the church, not the Baptist, not some denomination, not your parents. Are you doing the job that God's given you to do? I need to ask myself, am I doing the job that God's given me to do? Me to do. Not as a preacher, not as a Baptist, but as a human being, as a parent, am I doing my job? And how serious this is, and the consequences are severe if I mess up. My, how that would drive us to take our job at parenting so much more seriously. You get one shot at them. Give it your all. Make sure it is the effort that God would have you to give. And God will bless it. May God give us wisdom and discernment according to this verse. That's a biblical principle. Train up your child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. May God give us wisdom and discernment in this area. I thank you for your time. You have a great day.